Your Bibles tonight. Open up your Bibles to the book of Mark. Amen. The book of Mark, chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. If you're there, say amen. If you're still trying to find it, ask somebody to help you. If you still cannot find it, just follow along. Glory to God. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 1. The word of God says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, go into the village opposite you. And as soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat, loose it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. Verse 4, so they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside of the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing, loosening the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it. And he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road. And others cut down the leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of the Father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And verse 11, and Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went into Bethany with the 12. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Help us. Give us an understanding tonight, God. We thank you for everything you do. Touch us tonight. Give us a wisdom, God, beyond what we are tonight. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Does Jesus fit your mold? How many know that each and every one of us tonight, we have a visual of what Jesus is supposed to be? We have a visual picture that we have of what Jesus is supposed to do. We have, amen, in our minds, what we think the mold of Jesus should be. But let me ask you, does your mold fit what Jesus truly is? See, here it is. Jesus was supposed to be the deliverer that was promised centuries before in the book of Zechariah 9, verse 9. Amen. The word of God says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. See, here it is. This was written, amen, the prophet Zechariah. He prophesied this some 500 years before, amen, the Jewish people would come and see this prophecy fulfilled. They knew about Jesus. How many know that just like us here in this place, we know about the same Jesus? They knew his claims. They had seen the miracles, and now, amen, he is riding just as it was told some 500 years before. they understand what Jesus here is claiming. He is saying, I am the one that you've been waiting for. How many know that they should have been excited? They should have been glad. They should have rejoiced. See, the people, when they saw that, yes, they went hysterical. They laid their tunics down. They spread branches on the road. They started chanting, praise God, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they anticipated that Jesus would set up. See, this is the mold that they figured of Jesus. They anticipated that Jesus now would set up, a kingdom that was similar to the one that King David had. Friday morning, so here it is, Sunday, they see Jesus riding on a colt. They're crying out, Hosanna, praise God, glory to the highest. But now, here's Friday, and they're crying something totally different. They're saying in their minds now, crucify him, crucify him. What changed? What changed was that now the mold, the things that they had hoped from Jesus, he was not doing. See, in those 5 days, the minds of many in the crowds changed. Jesus did not fit the mold. In other words, he was not who they wanted him to be. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what you want Jesus to be. He is who he is, and he's not going to form himself to what you and I think. See, the Jews, they were occupied by the Romans. Jesus was supposed to be, in their minds, the one that was going to set them free from, the years of oppression. The Romans didn't even acknowledge, listen to me, they didn't even acknowledge who Jesus was. In fact, they were going to kill him. That wouldn't happen to the real Messiah, would it? If Jesus was the Messiah, he would not die in that manner. Jesus was not a good Messiah. In their eyes, he was a failure. Soon, Jesus would go, and we know, that he would die upon the cross. Deuteronomy 21:23 says, he who is, hanged on a tree is cursed. See, not only, folks, did Jesus look like a failure, but now, he looked worst because he was accursed. See, looking at all this, there was no way that in their minds, this could be the one. How many know that that's what's going on even today? Could we really trust him? Have we made mistakes? Did we give our lives to an empty fairy tale? That's what many people say today. See, they missed it simply because of one thing, folks. He did not fit their mold. He didn't check off all the boxes. How many know that we want to make sure? Check. X. He's not the one. See, people today, folks, they are still missing Jesus because just as in that day, hallelujah, we want Jesus who we want it to be, not who he is. You want Jesus to be at your disposal. See, we get, we want Jesus to be that ultimate problem solver. How many want that Jesus? God, help me get out of this mess. See, we get into big messes. We try everything we can think of to get out of it. But usually what we do is we get deeper into getting stuck. You know, years ago, when I was in the Army, they had a training where, matter of fact, the Fort Carson, unit went down to where I was stationed at in Fort Hunter Liggett, there in the middle of somewhere nowhere in California, south of Monterey, they're about 2.5 hours south of Monterey. But what they would do is, it was rainy, folks. It was nasty. And all you would hear is, my tank is marred. That means it was stuck. Then you would hear, my tank is deeper in the mud, because as they tried to get out, what they were doing is they were going back and forth, and what it was doing, it was stuck so bad that days later we would go, once it would dry off, that the tanks would be, turd high in dirt. That means all the way, to the where it fires, it would be completely marred, because as they tried to get themselves out, they were getting themselves stuck even more. See, we want that Jesus. We want him to get us out of the mess that we've created, and we want it, immediately. We cry out, God, help us solve our problems. See, we want Jesus to be that cleanup crew. We want him to be to come in, and clean up every mess that we have made in our lives. We want Jesus, to be our avenger. Somebody has gotten under our skin. We don't like the way they talk to us. We don't like the way that they ignored us. Lord, send a fire from hell and kill them. Amen. I had somebody say one time, no lie, Lord, give them diarrhea. You think I'm playing? That's the prayer that this man prayed. Give them, listen, this people, they've ticked me off. God, punish them. Be my avenger. They may have done something really bad, and we want paybacks. How many know, that we want God to send lightning bolts? God, kill them, for they did something bad against me. That's what Jesus was supposed to do. We want the Messiah. Listen to me, folks. We want the Messiah that fights every one of our fights. Can I tell you, He will, fight for you. But at one point, you're going to have to learn to fight for yourself. See, we want him to be our ATM. God, I'm in a real bad bind. Send something. See some of the messes that we have created, they involve, money. And we want him to bail you and I out. But the problem is that we did it ourselves. I can't afford it, but that 17E is coming out, and I know it's going to be about $1,200. I don't have it. Put it on my credit card. Hey. I know that I can't afford whatever is going there, but hey, put it on the credit card. And that credit card says, come on, use me again. And then how many know that you're going to have to pay the credit card back? They're going to come and they're going to collect. You want that brand new Ford F-150. That Chevy Silverado. That Tundra. Listen, whatever, it might be. You want it. You seen it. Your eyes caught upon it. You need it. You want it. You got it. But now you got to pay for it. A friend of mine, he bought a brand new Ford F-150. He said, while the going is good, let me get it. He's paying over $1,200 monthly on the payment. And then he gets sent out to, the mission field. Guess what? He still has to pay. But the money that he was an AC tech making good finances. And then, he goes out and his money gets cut in more than half. Now that F-150 doesn't look too good. How many know that that's what's going to be? We want Jesus. God, get me out of this mess. We don't have the money, but we want it. See, we want our Messiah, folks, to be our banking loan officer with an unlimited funds going directly to our bank account. Next, we want Jesus to turn back the time. We want him to clean up the messes of our past. How many here, listen, can I tell you? Every single one of us have things that we regret of our past. And we want Jesus to go back. God, go back and just wipe it off. See, we got hurt. Or maybe we hurt somebody. And we need Jesus to wipe away those things from our minds. Because we don't want to remember it. See, we want Jesus to look the other way. Lord, don't see what I'm looking at on my phone. Lord, I told you not to look. The music we listen to, the things that we see, the temptations that are pulling, the lustful thoughts that are running through our minds. We want Jesus to do some things that we want Jesus just to turn around while we do things that we know are not right. But yet, God, don't watch what I'm watching. Don't watch what I'm doing. We want God to turn around. See, if it's that bad, then maybe if you know that it's not good, should you be doing it? How many know that when you know that it's not, how many know that the Holy Ghost tells you the right thing that goes on in our lives? The Holy Ghost brings conviction. See, we try to numb the Holy Ghost. But how many know that he cannot be turned around? Because the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord, they go to and fro, watching everything that goes on, everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that crosses our path. The Lord is there and he sees it. See, we have an idea of what he should be. But when he's not, we get disappointed. See, there are times, as I come to a close, there are times when Jesus will step in, supernaturally and intervene. But those times are not just for our benefit. They are to show you and I who and what Jesus truly is and what he can do. And when he chooses, listen, when he chooses or decides not to intervene, it does not change who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He is not somebody, that is always on in our pocket, that you and I can just spread out and say, okay, God, you're here. You're at my disposal. You're supposed to act when I want you to. That's not who Jesus is. When Jesus came, our whole world was transformed. That when he came, listen, time stopped and it started a new time. The old time, BC, before Christ, it changed every aspect of our lives. That time for a split second completely changed. BC and AD. See, Jesus didn't come to just solve our problems. He came to save you and I from our problems. The biggest problem, is that you and I, every single one of us, the Bible says whosoever. Can I tell you? Every single one of us are included in that word, whosoever. We rebelled against God and we sinned against God. Jesus came for one thing, to be able, to save us from the consequences of our sin. See, when they cried out, crucify him, crucify him, everything was for a purpose. His death. We were made, by his death, you and I were made right with God. He stepped in. And when he stepped in, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And now you and I have life and life abundantly. See, that is the mold that Jesus is. Does he fit or does he still fit your mold? What you want of Jesus. And can I tell you, just as those that said crucify, crucify, 1 week before, he was the mold. 5 days later, crucify him, crucify him. We don't want him anymore. Is that you and I tonight? Is that what we claim? See, if he does fit your mold, who is Jesus to you? Because he is my Savior. He is my God. He is my Lord. He is my King. He is my Messiah. Does he fit your mold? That's what you're going to have to ask yourself tonight. That's what you're going to have to come to a conclusion tonight. Is Jesus who he says he is? Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen. You're here in this place. I'm going to move quickly. You're here in this place. You're not saved. You're here in this place. You're not right with God. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to put you in front of the mic. I'm not going to, put you on blast or anything thereof tonight. All I simply want to do is know who to pray for. You're in this place tonight. And you know in your heart that you're not, or you've never accepted Jesus. You're not right with God tonight. Would you do one thing, folks? All I want to know is who to pray for. Would you lift up your hand tonight? That's you. You want to accept Jesus. Young man, God sees this young man's heart. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hand? You're not saved. You're not right with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Jaden, won't you come? Joey, would you pray for him? Church, let me speak to you. Does Jesus fit your mold? Does he fit your mold? Or maybe something that I spoke of tonight. You want him to be your avenger. You want him to be just your problem solver. You want him to be your ATM. You want him to be this or that. But is he the one that saved you from the penalties of your sin? Jesus wants to touch your life tonight. What is your perspective of Jesus? He is our all in all. Does Jesus fit your mold? The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God. Let God help you tonight. Let Jesus move. Let Jesus guide you tonight. Amen. He's supposed to turn his right eye. He's not supposed to, watch what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're thinking. Jesus is and will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Will you turn your life to Jesus and give him, all rights to your life? Will you allow God to truly move upon your situation tonight? God truly does want to move. But he does not move simply because we demand him to move. What relationship do we have with God? Is it a close or a distant relationship? Is it a good or a See, God is not going to conform himself to us. We need to conform ourselves to him. Does he fit your mold? The mold that you have of him. Jesus wants to help you tonight. but he needs to know that he can trust you. That if you can trust him, I mean. See, God wants to do great and mighty things. But can I tell you? The sad thing will be that if he skips you and I and goes to somebody else. Because what we thought was something different than what he is. He is who he is. How many know that? And he's not going to change. Joey, won't you close us in prayer tonight?